This is Victory House.
Tonight, if you want to title what I'm speaking about, and media, please take note of that too. Don't say it's Faith Part 3. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Keep it going. The Bible says, keep this book of the law always. I'm reading from the NIV. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Let me read the Amplified version of the same scripture. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will be successful. This book of the law. Let's open another verse of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, the process of making the word of God real in our life is an ongoing process. It's something that you can't just start and stop and say, I've done it, I've finished with that part, I've finished with faith. No, it's an ongoing process. In this series of teaching, we've confirmed that living by faith is how we can operate in the kingdom. It is not just how we operate the day we gave our life to Christ, it's the way we operate consistently and constantly. And the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we do not walk by sight. That means the opposite of faith is walking by sight. Now, sight in that scripture does not just mean by what you see. It's talking about the physical realities. We don't walk by what is tangible alone. We don't walk by physical realities alone. We don't walk by only the things that are natural, that are open to the five senses. In fact, you can replace that scripture and say, we walk by faith and not by our five senses. We walk by faith and not by our five senses. I was listening to somebody today and he was talking about something else, but for some reason went to the subject of faith. And he said something that got my attention. He said, if proof is possible, then faith is impossible. If proof is possible, then faith is impossible. Let me explain. Some people will say it to you. You meet some people, you say, there's a God of the universe. And they say, I don't believe in him. And the reason they say they don't believe in him is that I can't see him. I don't know about him. People talk about him and all of that kind of thing. I don't think there is a God. But you see, believe as a word in itself suggest that you are having faith. Now, when you can prove what you really believe, maybe there's no faith. Or when you can touch it, when it's very tangible, because faith has to do with something that you may not be able to touch in the natural, you may not be able to do empiricals, you may not be able to go to the lab and test for it, but it is still real. So when proof is what you are looking for, maybe, especially proof in the natural, maybe you are not actually walking by faith. Because when it has to do with faith, you have to believe it and then later you will now see it. It is not the other way. And that's why that scripture is saying, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't start by what we touch. We start by what we don't see and take it so real like we see it, so much that when we see it, we'll say, oh, I have already seen you since. That's why the Bible said, when he was talking in Hebrews chapter 11, it was talking about the people of faith. He said they were looking for a city. Their eyes were on something that is beyond what they saw now. Their eyes were on something that is beyond the five senses, because that's how faith works. because that's the MO of God. And you see, faith is God's reality. Faith is God's experience. And when we operate on that, we experience what God experiences. Now, sight, natural things, is our normal experience here. So when you see things in the natural, that's your experience. But if you want to move beyond the natural experience, if you want to move beyond the human experience and into the God experience, you need to understand and operate by faith. One of the enemies of faith, is the experiences that people have had. Experiences that they have had themselves, or experiences that they have read about or they are acquainted with by other people. And it still boils down to this side thing. For example, somebody is believing God, that God, I believe I receive my healing. Now, there may be an experience to that person in particular where you begin to feel the symptoms on your body, right? You are sick, you are hot, maybe your temperature is going up and all that. That is a physical experience. Or the person is sick or believing God for healing, and the person hears about another person's experience that so-and-so person had the same kind of problem, and this is what happened to them. And somehow the devil suggests to them that because of your experience or the other person's experience, the outcome is going to be like this. But faith says no, irrespective of my experience or this other person's experience, I can hold on to God's experience and I can hold on to God's reality, which is believing in him that God can make the experience that I have right now to be invalidated and I will be enjoying the experience of God. So that's why the Bible says we don't walk by the physical experiences. And you need to understand this, because when we're talking about faith, there will be experiences. There will be the things that are in the natural. And usually they negate the thing that you are believing God for. They are against it. And sometimes they are so against it that under every normal circumstances, the outcome will be different from what you are believing for. The outcome will be completely on the other side of what you are believing God for. So what do you do? You don't walk by those experiences. You don't walk by what you see. You don't walk by what you hear. You don't walk by what you can touch. In fact, many times you need to do something so that what you see, what you can touch, what you can feel, you change it. You do something. And that's what we have been talking about with this word of God. That's why the Bible was that's why God was telling Joshua, because it was God himself that was talking to Joshua. God told Joshua, this book of the law is how you will change your experience. Because you see, I'm calling you to be the leader of my people. I'm calling you to take the place where to take the people of God where Moses could not take them. I am calling you to do some amazing thing. But can I tell you the truth, that if you are not able to change your experience to my experience and you walk with your natural experience, you won't be able to do it. And God now gave him the recipe. How do you keep it going? How are you going to keep it going such that your experience will be the God experience and not the man's experience? Not what you see. Not the giants. Not the giants at AI. Not the giants at Jericho. Not the giants at Jordan. Not the giants that they saw in the land. You remember before Joshua took over the realms of affairs of Israel, they had gone to spy the land. Joshua was one of the 12 people that went to spy the land. Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible said when they went there, the human reality, the human experience, the human things that they saw there was that there were giants there. It was the truth. They were not making that up. There were giants there. But something happened to Joshua and Caleb because of their relationship with Moses. And maybe they had been practicing what God was even telling him in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible said Joshua had a different spirit. And Joshua quieted the people and told the people, he said, we are able to go. This human experience that you are looking at, this giant that you are looking at, you have forgotten the God side of things, where that the God in us is able to defeat the giant that we see there. And can I tell it to somebody tonight? The God in you is able to defeat the giants you see in your life. And he will do so in the name of Jesus. God told Joshua, God said, how you can overcome this experience issue or this reality thing. Because to face the truth, reality, you will face realities. Many times after you leave church on Sunday, on Wednesday, when you are pumped up, you will face real life. You will face reality. You will see things staring you in the face. You will see situations staring you in the face. And they are contrary to what you sang about in church. They are contrary to what you read when you were praising God, when you were reading your Bible and getting excited. So what are you going to do? God gave him a recipe. He said, this book, the solution to the problem is the book. The solution to the problem is the book. Now, many of us know that the solution is the book. But the book is not just the solution. It's the consistency of holding on to the book that is the solution. And so God told him, this is how you can keep this book ongoing. Put it on replay. Keep it going. How will you do it? Put it on your mouth. Put it on your mouth. Look at that scripture again. Let me read it again. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The New International Version says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Always on your lips. Keep it on your lips. Don't just keep it on the book. Don't leave it on the paper. Don't leave it as ink. Because as ink, it does not have power. But when you put it on the lips, the spirit that is in you will mix up with your words and give it life. And give it motion. Animate the word and make the word personal. Because you see, many people, the word of God is to us, it's not to them. They have not personalized it. Until you personalize it, it's a general thing. And you see, if you understand God, God likes to deal with people individually. That's why sometimes you can give a word to a congregation and you will find that only one or two people reflect that word. Because words don't really come to people, to congregation. Word comes to people individually. We take it, we personalize it. And God told him this. The way you keep this word going is to put it on your lips. Keep it on your lips. Because if you keep it on your lips, that is how you meditate on it. Because he now goes on to explain what it means to keep it on the lips. He says, meditate on it day and night. How can you think of the word of God day and night? Learn how to say it to yourself. Learn how to keep it, keep saying it, keep muttering it to yourself. Keep muttering it in the face of the trouble. Keep muttering it in the face of the experience that is different from the experience that the word of God says. You look at the experience that you are seeing in the natural, but you speak the experience of the word of God to it. You speak what the word of God shows you. You say it boldly. You look at dead situation and you say it's a living situation. You look at dead jobs and you say it's a living job. You look at dead relationships and you call them to life. You are speaking the experience of scripture on your present situation, and because you are speaking the experience of scripture, your situation must align to scriptures. Can I get amen to that? So keep this book of the law in your mouth. Keep it on your lips. And last week we started on that tangent and told us one of the reasons why when we keep these words of God, the word of God on our lips, why it works is because it renews our mind. It changes the images in our mind. Another reason why it works, it's because it keeps the answer before us. The answer will stay in our face. Because you see, the problem usually with many of us in our faith journey is that when we set out on this journey and say, I believe God for that, there will be negative situations. There will be contrary things. There will be things that will be speaking the problem to us. Symptoms are those things. If you are sick, it's going to say, oh, you are still sick. So you now need to keep the answer in your face. When people pray, I was saying it in one of these teachings, that's not the problem that most people have. I mean, some people, they pray nonsense. Yes, I know that. But sometimes some people pray the right thing. They pray the word of God. But you see, when they leave the place of the word of God, and when they leave the place of prayer, they go back to their normal life, and they, instead of keeping the answer that they have spoken in the presence of God on their lips, they now keep the problem on their lips. They now see the problem. They now look at the situation and say what they see. But you remember, we don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we experience, at least in the natural. We walk by what we experience in the Word of God. So when I see what I experience and it's against the Word of God, I'm not going to rehash my experience that is against the Word of God. I'm going to say the Word of God, because that is how God told Joshua to do it. Keep these words on your mouth. So when Joshua, when you are faced with Jericho, what are you supposed to do, Joshua? Keep these words on your mouth. When you look at Jericho, when you see Jericho, you are not going to be describing Jericho, because that's what some of us do. We will now do analysis of Jericho. I don't have a problem with you finding the, you know, geography of Jericho and scientific stuff about Jericho. There's nothing wrong with knowledge, but that kind of knowledge may not help you. You understand? So when you see Jericho, it is now not for you to now say, let's do some research. You see Jericho as per to climb the... No. Go and find what the Word of God says, and keep saying what that word says to Jericho. Look at Jericho. For example, God may say that you should shout towards Jericho. And that's what you'll be saying. I'm going to shout as God has commanded me. I'm going to do what the Word of God says. And that's what I'm going to do. And what the Word of God says is what I'm going to see. When even you are not in an organized place, because really the battle is really outside of when we are in very organized place. We want to pray, we want to do, read the word, it's my quiet time, it's my time for service and all of that kind of thing. So you and I must learn to keep that word on our mouth, because when we do that, we are putting the answer before us. We are putting the answer before us. The easiest way to become what the Word of God says is to keep it before you. Is to make sure that that word, you are looking at it. Look at this scripture. Let's open there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. I'm going to start reading from verse 14. The Bible says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. And now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. Meaning that when we focus our eyes on the glory of the Lord, we change to glory. When you focus your eye on a particular scripture that pertains to your issue, and the focusing of your eyes on it within the context of our discussion tonight is putting it on your lips. That's how you focus your eyes on it. You will focus your eyes, not your physical eyes, but your eyes of the spirit. But how you focus your eyes on it is by putting it on your lips, letting it remain on your lips, and you saying it to yourself. Whether you say it loud or say it silently under your breath, but keep it going. Keep it in your mouth. Because when you keep it in your mouth, you are keeping it in your sight. And when you keep it in that way, the Bible says you become changed. Change happens when we keep the answer before us. Change does not happen when we keep the problem before us, when we describe the problem, when we are looking at the problem. Because you see, there are many ways you can tackle a problem. One of the ways you can tackle a problem is not to focus on the problem, but focus on the God that can take care of the problem. Because sometimes people will look at a problem, focus on that problem, and they magnify that problem beyond their God. It's not as if that problem becomes bigger than God, but in your eyes, it has become bigger than God. That's what happened to the spies. When the spies went to look at the land and they came back, the Bible said, 10 of them said, we can't do it. It's not possible. And some people are saying that here too tonight. It's not possible. It doesn't happen like that. It's not possible. This is America. It doesn't work like that here. It's not possible. But I read a scripture on Sunday, Genesis chapter 18. I think it's verse, is it 10 now? Where God was talking to Abraham. And God told Abraham, Is anything too hard for God? Many times you need to remind yourself that. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for God? When it comes to money, you can't put all that kind of money together in a short time. Who told you that? Who told you that? That with man is probably that's the situation. But we are not talking of human experience here. We are talking of the God experience. We are not talking of what we see by sight. We are talking of walking by faith. And so how do you make sure that you don't get tired and you don't get weary? Because I wish I can tell you that the first day you pray, the first day you believed, the first day you said something, that's when it happens. It doesn't always work like that. And that's why many people have issues. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, we are holding on to our confession. We're not going to draw back. We're not going to change it. We're not going to say, well, let me revise it. Well, I thought God can do it. But now wisdom tells me something different. No. We hold on to our confession. We hold on to that which we have been professing. We hold on to the word of God. And how do we hold on to that word of God? We keep saying it. We put it on our lips. We say it in the morning. We say it in the evening. We can form a song around it. We can do anything possible that we can do to make sure that it stays on our lips. That's how God does things. You know, when God met Abraham, God told him, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing. And he didn't stop there. God said, I will make you a father of many nations. And God knew that Abraham did not have a child when God said that. And so that Abraham would put that word on his lips, you know what God did? God changed his name. So that every time Abraham introduces himself, he was putting the answer before him. God wanted it that the thing he wants to do, Abraham will keep saying it because God needs us to partner with him. God can save the world. God can do so many things, but there are many things he has chosen not to do unless men partner with him. Many, many things. For example, God can save the world. You know, God can just like this. Everybody will be saved in this world right now. Why has he not done that? Because he wants you and I to go and tell them. He wants you and I to go and tell them. In fact, sometimes when even angels appear to these guys, he will still direct them to a human being. Why don't you finish the work of salvation? Because God has made it that there is a partnership going on here. So God knew that he needed the cooperation of Abraham so that what he has promised Abraham will come to pass. And so the promise of God to Abraham was, you'll be the father of many nations. And so what did God do? God changed Abraham to Abraham, so that every time Abraham sees anybody and says, pleased to meet you, my name is Father of Many Nations. So he was saying it. And because he was saying it, based on that scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, as we beholding as in a glass, we become changed. So transformation happens the more you keep beholding. And you don't behold unless you keep it going. You put it on your mouth. Not saying it the first time. Because many times we say it. We have said it before. No. I'm not talking about the fact that you have said it. I know you have said it before. I know you have confessed once. I know you have said. But you need to keep it going. You don't have to stop. You have to keep the answer in your face. That is what speaking the word of God does. He keeps the answer before us, not the problem. Because can I tell you the truth? The devil will do a lot to keep that problem before you. Sometimes he will escalate it. Sometimes it's when you pray about a thing that it seems that thing now has trouble. Before you prayed about it, it seems everything was okay. Or before you started speaking the word of God over that thing. Immediately you don't say, oh, I want to speak the word of God over my finances. I'm a giver. Maybe you didn't used to pay your tithe. I'm a tither. And then suddenly, one funny Chicago ticket parking something came in the mail. And you're like, God, the devil is a liar. You're like, oh my, I'm not able to do what I've said I would do. But no, don't keep the problem in your face. Keep the answer there. Don't negotiate with the devil. Don't let the devil, because of what he has shown you now, make you change your confession. Because if God has told you, if you have started saying it in God, it can happen like that. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. So, put it on your lips. Put the word on your lips. Because putting the word on your lips is putting the answer before you. It is keeping the answer right where it belongs, in your face. You need to keep saying it. You need to keep it before you. Another thing that saying and keep saying the word of God does is that not only does it keep the word before you, it keeps confessing the word of God. It changes your heart. It changes your heart. I'll read this scripture, and then maybe I'll be able to drop in one more thing, and then we're going to be calling it quit. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let me start reading from verse 14. The Bible says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah say, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call upon him except they believe?" They can't call on him except they believe. And they cannot believe except they hear. They cannot believe except they hear. The summary of this scripture, if you follow it down to the end, is that, look, there is a cycle of faith. There is a cycle that happens with faith. And the reason that cycle works like that is that the major thing that needs to be changed is your heart. Is your heart. And so when you say it, what happens is that there is something happening to you. It's changing you. Because you see, I think in one of these teaching, I said it. God is constant. We are the variables. Many of the time, it's you that need to catch up with him. What God can do tomorrow, he could have done. Sometimes he can do it today. In his agenda, he didn't have a date, April 25th, 2018. I know there are some things in his agenda he has date on them. For example, in the agenda of God, Christ needed to come at a particular time. So there was nothing any man could do for Christ to have come, at least before Elijah, or before Moses. No, in the agenda of God, there was a kind of timetable. After some time, that's when Christ will come. I know that. But there are so many other things that God can do. And it's not necessarily tied to a particular time, but usually God is waiting for a man. He's waiting for man to catch up. He's waiting for somebody to be able to catch up to him. Because somebody is too slow for him. He's 5 miles away. You are still here. So what this confession does is that it works on you. It works on you. It works on you so much that you will be able to catch up with God. You'll be able to come onto the same frequency with him. And that's what the scriptures is just saying, what I just read now. So when you say it, you'll be able to believe it. When the word, you put the word in your mouth, it enters into you. And when it enters into you very well, not just enter into you casually, because there are sometimes what we believe on the word of God is not really believe, it's about it. I was making the decision about knowing somebody and knowing about somebody on Sunday. So there's a difference with that. So I can know about something. But I don't know something until I've spent time, until there's some level of intimacy, especially a human being. Similarly with the word of God, many times when you say it the first time, it has not really entered. It enters sometimes after the fifth time you said it. And that's why you need to keep it on your lips. So what does it do when you keep it on your lips? One of the things it does is that it keeps the answer before you. And another thing it does is that it changes your heart. What happens when you keep the word on your lips and you keep it going? Not that you say it today and tomorrow you say something else. You just keep the word going. You say it today and you keep the cycle going. What happens to you? It's not only that it keeps the answer before you. It's not only that it changes your heart. It keeps the law of faith in motion. The law of faith. You need to keep it in motion. Faith is like a cycle. Many people start the cycle but stop it somewhere. They don't keep it in motion. It's not in play. And that's why tonight I'm challenging you. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't stop it. Don't abort it. Don't kill it. It's like when people are planting. I don't know about you when you were growing up, when they gave you maybe beans. You know, I think that's the one they usually use, or corn, for all this agricultural class thing. They tell you to go and plant it. You know, or, you know, you plant it, you put it into the ground. And most kids, when they plant that seed, they think tomorrow they will see the maize or the beans. So you put it in the ground today. Tomorrow you come there. What are you expecting? To see a tree or a plant. And then when you don't see a plant, you think nothing is happening. But that doesn't mean anything is not happening. Because when it is sown, when it enters that ground, it dies, it goes through some all the processes it needs to go through. After a while, though people didn't see anything, one day you will just come and you start seeing something shooting out. And that's how the process of faith is. There are many times you say things, it looks like you are just wasting your time. It looks like you have just put something in the ground and you came the next day, there is nothing there. But if you don't fail, if you don't faint, if you don't go like the young boy that will, some young guys will go and say, we are not seeing anything. And they dig the ground and put their seed and say, I need to see what's going on in the ground. But once you dig it and pull it out, what have you done? You have stopped it. You have ended the process. But ladies and gentlemen, how do you keep the process of faith? How do you keep it in motion? How do you keep it that you are not putting brakes on it? On your lips. Keep it on your lips. Keep the word on your lips. That's what God told Joshua. Joshua said, look, success is possible. Success is possible. It is possible for you to have good success. Well, that's how a translation puts it. Good success. He said, but you must keep this word of the Lord on your lips. It must stay there. Because that's how you are able to have good success. Let's look at this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Keep it going. Keep it going. You can keep the word of God going. You can keep the things God has said concerning you. You can keep the process of faith going. And when you keep saying it, you are keeping it going. The law of faith, you set it in motion and you don't put brakes on it. Look at what scripture says here. It says, we have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So when we believe, we speak. When you believe the word of God, you don't just keep it there on the page. You don't just keep it there. Even in your heart, you put it on your lips. Because that's how the process works. The process, that's how it has been working for the people that we read of in scriptures. And that's how it should still work now. Keep it on your lips. And finally tonight, why does it work when we keep the word of God on our lips? Because when you keep the word of God on your lips, when you say the word of God, when you confess the word of God, it puts angels to work. To make angels to work. Psalm 103 and verse 20. Psalm 103 and verse 20. When you keep saying the word of God, it puts angels to work. I was watching a movie, I think I said it on Sunday too, that somebody was casting disparage. It was, you know, pulling down people that believe in angels and say, when you are not a kid, how can you believe that angels are real? But can I tell you, angels are real? Can somebody say amen to that? No, angels are not fairy tales. They are not just things that are... But the Bible is not a storybook. I mean, it has stories, but it's reality. So when you hear that angels came to deliver Peter in Acts chapter 12, it was not he dreamt and he saw himself outside of the prison. No, angels actually came to deliver him. So how do you enjoy the ministry of angels? You may see them. Sometimes people have seen them. But sometimes you may not see them, but you can enjoy their ministry. Look at what the word of God says. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandment, hearkening unto the voice of his words. So if you give a voice to the word of God, angels will hearken to you. if you put the words of God on your lips, angels, you act. Angels are voice activated. They happen and they do stuff when they hear the word of God. They it's like when they hear the word of God, they are switched on. And until the word of God is spoken, many times they are inactive. They are there. But you can make them to work. You can put them to action. You can make the angels of God over your children to work. How many of us can be everywhere our children are? But you can, by word of God, by speaking the word of God into their life, when they come to your mind, instead of you worrying and saying, wow, this world that they are growing up in, this environment that they are growing up in, is this and is that. No. You can just say something like this. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. At school today, goodness and mercy shall follow you. I believe goodness and mercy, there are some types of angels. And you can activate them by saying that word and putting it on your lips and meaning it. Because angels, they hear words, not complaints, the word of God. So the more you put them on your lips, you are making angels active. You are making angels active. There are angels that protect. When you are traveling, you can speak the word of God. Oh, goodness and mercy follows me. He keeps his angels charge over me. I'm not going to dash my foot on a stone. He keeps my going out and my coming in. You have activated angels. When there's a danger or danger trying to happen, they can step in the way for you. Have you not seen it before? Almost 1 second. I've been in situations where 1 second, it would have been another story. There was one day I was driving some times ago, and the last thing I remembered was that I turned on the ramp on a bridge. And the next thing I saw myself by the curbside, not in America. In another country. I saw myself on the curbside. I slept off. But thank God for God and the God that keeps his angels charge over you. Because how do you maneuver the car then when you have already slept off? Huh? How do you maneuver the car? But God still has his angels and they are still working today. So ladies and gentlemen, to keep the process of God going, put it on your lips. Don't be quiet. A quiet life, a quiet mouth is a quiet life. Keep your words going. When a boss comes to you, they say something that is contrary to the word of God, you don't need to argue with them. Under your breath, you can be muttering the word of God. You can be doing that. You can do that. You see your doctor and they tell you something. You don't take the word of a doctor as the word of God. I'm not saying ignore medical advice. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that speak the word of God over medical advice. Speak the word of God over medical verdict. Because the word of God is truth. Medical verdict is fact. And truth in the realm of things is higher than facts. Speak the word of God. Keep it on your lips. Will you stand up tonight? And we're going to keep these words on our lips. We're going to, as we go out tonight, as we go about our day, as we read scriptures, don't just read them and leave them on the paper. Don't just read them and leave them on your device that you have read them from. Say them. Say them. You can write them with your own handwriting and say them constantly. Say them continually. Because when you say them continually, it works on you. It changes the image that you have on the inside of you. When you say them continually, it keeps the answer before you. When you say them continually, it activates angels. It activates angels. And I see angels activated on your behalf. In the name of Jesus. I want you to say this out loud. Say, in the name of Jesus, it is unto me. According to the word of God, I declare I am the head, I'm not the tail, I'm above and I'm not beneath. I declare goodness, mercy will follow me in the name of Jesus. I declare I am lifted, I am promoted, I am elevated, I am decorated, I am celebrated. In the name of Jesus, I declare, blessed am I when I go out. Blessed am I when I come in. I declare all the blessings that the Lord declared in scriptures will come upon me, will overtake me, because I obey the voice of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I declare my children
family members are blessed in the name of Jesus. I declare my bank accounts are blessed in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Lord shall cause the enemies that rise up against me to be smitten before my face. They will come one way and they will flee seven ways in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Lord commands a blessing on my storehouse. I declare that everything I lay my hands on will succeed, will prosper. I declare it is well with this church family. I declare we increase with the increase of God in the name of Jesus. I declare we release potentials. We impact the world. We impact our community in the name of Jesus. I believe, I receive in Jesus' name. If you believe it, will you give God a big shout?